Good morning.
Our last case this morning is file number 821-0331. Hope I pronounced this right, Duenas versus Haig. Ms. Perrin, since you're the only parties filed a brief, you will have 15 minutes for your argument. I will simply remind you and anyone listening in that there is an audio, this is a Zoom argument, and there is obviously going to be an audio recording available tomorrow, but the rules specifically prohibit anyone from making their own private recording. So please don't do that. Then whenever you're ready, counsel, you may begin, please. Thank you.
Good morning. Charlene Perrin for the appellant, Jason Duenas. Mr. Duenas asked the court to remand the case back to the district court for an evidentiary hearing and for further findings in the alternative based on the best interest analysis.
Well, can I stop you for a moment? There was no separate motion for a modification of parenting time to be based on best interest, was there?
There was in the original motion we filed.
No, that's not my question. There was no separate motion for modification of parenting time. My only place I could find it was an alternative remedy on the change of custody motion.
That is correct. Okay. That is correct. And based upon that, we actually are asking the court to, we asked the court to treat that like a separate motion to expand the parenting time. The basis for that is that the parties in August of 2019 stipulated.
You think that was enough notice to the respondent to address the parenting time modification subject?
I do, because the parties.
And while you're answering, think about this as well. It looks to me like the trial court, lumped it all together like you did, and then used the wrong standard for parenting time. I didn't use best interest, but used endangerment. So the confusion here was on the part of the trial court. And I'm concerned about whether the respondent might have also been confused and not understand that this was a parenting time motion as well.
Well, Your Honor, I think one thing that makes it less confusing is the fact that there was also a contempt motion. And the contempt motion...
That didn't make it less confusing. It made it more confusing, it seems to me, because the trial court made credibility determinations on the contempt matter and then looks like dragged those credibility determinations over on your motion to modify custody. So putting it all together and messing it all up, it looks to me like you didn't clarify things that ought to have been clarified. So I have some sympathy for the trial judge, although the trial judge could have separated out the credibility determination on contempt from a credibility determination on prima facie case, which probably is inappropriate. And it looks to me like nowhere did anybody really address what you claim is a separate parenting time best interest of the child motion.
Your Honor, it is my perspective that, and respectfully, that in our motion, we made it clear the things that we were asking the court to address. And insofar, what I was trying to say about the contempt issue is that it all goes back to that original order that contemplated expanded parenting time. And I believe that is why there was sufficient notice, because there's a contempt matter because the mother didn't expand the parenting time as anticipated by the order. Although, quite honestly, the order is very vague. And so it is difficult to, I would concede that contempt is a bit difficult because of the vagueness of the order. Nonetheless, there was the intent to expand. There wasn't any time frame.
And is there anywhere in your motion papers where you spelled out what you wanted to see in terms of a different parenting time order?
I believe that would have been in the affidavit of the petitioner. I can, if the court wants me to, I can page through that. But I believe
you may not want to use your time up to do that, but go ahead.
Okay. I can't recall specifically. I know that we asked for a holiday schedule to be presented. And I think the primary concern of the father is also the endangerment issue. And I believe that is why the focus was on that issue, on the alienation. From our perspective, it's all connected. And the father provided a very specific, very detailed affidavit that really spells out quite clearly what is happening with his attempts for visits.
Okay. Before you go into that, I'm looking at the court's order, and the order says the mother credibly testified that she's working with the child school. Mother never testified, did she?
She did not. And there's another spot where in the judge's memorandum where he talks about Mr. Duenes not presenting any evidence. But of course, it wasn't an evidentiary hearing. So
Ms. Perrin, wouldn't the thing to do, because I think Judge Klepacki has identified several issues, wouldn't thing to do to simply say, you know, we're supposed to take the prima facie case as it is. You really can't make credibility determinations on affidavits. Therefore, we should remand it for an evidentiary hearing. And as to contempt and parenting time, you know, the court can just, you know, in light of our remand, the court can revisit those issues. I mean, wouldn't that be the cleanest, quickest way to deal with this?
It would. I would agree with that. You know, my intent was to be very thorough.
Well, let's see if you can get two more people to agree with you.
Okay. So the affidavit of Mr. Duenes, I believe, is very clear. And
one thing I think the court was struggling with that Judge Klepacki mentions, I mean, and I find it sort of confusing. I mean, there's, you know, you take a prima facie case, you know, you take your affidavit, your client's affidavit is face value. You can't really contradict, you know, but you can't contradict it, but you can use other affidavits to explain things. I mean, is there enough in the record for the district court to have made its decision based on the explanations it thought it was looking at to deal with your client's allegations in his affidavit?
I do not believe so. And so one issue that came up was the missed visits or the canceled visits. In his affidavit, he explains very clearly why those visits were missed, which visits were missed because of coronavirus, and which visits were missed because of cancellations. And it seems like the district court judge kind of lumped them all together and just said that it was because of coronavirus. But that's not true. And Mr. Duenes' affidavit very clearly lays that out. So
your client also indicated that there was never any opportunity to make up for any of that lost time, and that it was denied when requested. What kind of response did the respondent give to that?
You know, I do not recall offhand what the specific response was, and I wouldn't want to.
I couldn't find any, so that's why I asked.
Right.
And I noticed the trial court didn't address it at all either.
Right. And maybe that's why I don't recall. But there, if you were permitted to provide evidence, Mr. Duenes can show very specifically, and he did state so in his affidavit too, the responses from Ms. Haig that, and sometimes they were as simple as, no, you can't have a makeup. And, you know, I think the ending of the therapy is another significant issue, that she ended the therapy of the child against the wishes of the therapist. Now, that's something we didn't know at the time of the hearing. And during the hearing, her attorney represented that therapy, and it was very clear on the record, that therapy was ended at the therapist's direction. But then when Mr. Duenas could finally obtain the records that he was prevented from getting, because that is the one order that the judge made, is, hey, you know, make sure that he has access to these records. Don't keep him from doing that. So he obtained those therapy records, which show very clearly that the therapist was against ending therapy for the child. And, you know, that's kind of one of the contradictions between the affidavits that we didn't explain in his affidavit, because we simply couldn't access the information. But once we did, I filed a request to file a motion for reconsideration, and that was denied. And then the ultimate thing that happened, the ultimate action that Ms. Haig took, was to try to get a harassment restraining order. And speaking to any contradictions or explanation in the response by Ms. Haig, you know, the judge of the district court goes into the issue of Mr. Duenas calling the police and claiming that a police officer told her to file a harassment order. Well, Mr. Duenas explained that one incident where he called the police, the child came into a supervised visit and had bruising on his eye. And so the child said that the bruising was due to being hit by the mother's significant other. Perfectly appropriate for Mr. Duenas to call that in. And if, you know, as his affidavit indicates, if we had an evidentiary hearing, the people from the supervised center were there when these statements were made by the child. They can testify that they weren't elicited, or that Mr. Duenas wasn't, you know, just questioning the child to try to get in some kind of untoward information, that the child said this spontaneously. Another report that was made by a mandated reporter, because Ms. Haig's daughter, London, said that the significant other was hitting her and the child of Mr. Duenas and Ms. Haig. And so there's significant information that shows that there are justified police reports. And Mr. Duenas explained why he made the reports very clearly in his affidavit. And so the explanation of Ms. Haig is different. And there are a line of cases that talk about how if there's an argument by one side and an argument by the other, and they don't match up, that the court, that lends itself to an evidentiary hearing. So it seems that Mr. Duenas provided more than sufficient information in his affidavit. He was very thorough, because from his perspective in the history of these cases, there's always an explanation. There's always a reason. And there are untruths. There are, Ms. Haig is not being upfront. And so he tried to cover all those bases and tried to explain who was in the room, how things happened, why visits were canceled, why he made the police reports. And he tried to be very detailed about it, so that the court could see the danger to the child, and it really, the best interest of the child is really paramount in these cases, and that is what Mr. Duenas cares about. And when he's blocked from all information, told by a therapist that, well, I can't talk to you about this anymore, you can't be part of therapy, you can't have any records, because Ms. Haig made that happen. And when he's limited to 1 hour on Tuesdays and a couple hours, 1 hour supervised on Saturdays, along with a couple additional hours, I believe it's 3 and 5 every other week. When he's so limited in his time with the child and the child comes in with issues, with signs of abuse, and he is shut out. And effectively that harassment restraining order that was attempted by Ms. Haig was her ultimate act to shut him out, close the door. You know, she doesn't
want find it, you find it curious in terms of this trial judge's memorandum that items which didn't pan out on the father's claim are considered questioning his credibility, but the TRO, or the, not the TRO, but the harassment order which she sought, which resulted in finding of no harassment, was not considered as a credibility item for her.
Yes, I mean, it just seemed like, to Mr. Duenas, quite frankly, that there was nothing he could say, that would cause the court to give him a hearing. And because he said it all, and he said it very clearly, and it is our position that we do ask the court to remand this for an evidentiary hearing. And I do agree with Your Honor, Judge Connolly, that it does make sense. It's more efficient to have one evidentiary hearing to consider all of those issues. It was my perspective that for efficiency's sake, it would all be in one motion, but I can see that that should prompt some rethinking on my part based on the feedback that I'm getting. But I appreciate your time, and we do ask you to remand this back to the court for an evidentiary hearing for the best interest of this young man.
Thank you very much, Ms. Perrin. The matter is submitted. That being our last oral argument of the day, we are adjourned.